Christian stewardship has been our theme over these summer Sundays, and we've been thinking about the theme of Christian stewardship being heart work. It's something that affects our heart and affects our being. And when the word stewardship gets mentioned in church, it's very easy to simply think, oh, they want more money. But is that really what it's all about? Christian stewardship is actually much more than just about finance. So what exactly are we talking about? Well, I hope in this short series of sermons over the summer on the theme of stewardship that we've discovered that Christian stewardship is actually a way of life in which we regard ourselves and our possessions as a trust from God to be used in His service for what He has done for us in Jesus Christ. And this means that we are stewards of everything God has given to us. Our time, our abilities, our possessions, our money, our whole lives. But I wonder, can we define Christian stewardship in one simple sentence? Well, I'm sure we can think of many sentences. Christian stewardship is our complete and joyful obedience to God who entrusts to us the management of life and possessions, that the world might know Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour. Or if that's too long to remember, we might just say Christian stewardship is what we do after we say we believe. You see, Christian stewardship is not about making ends meet. It is about looking to an expanding church, even in a time of recession, and especially in evangelism. Stewardship is not about giving only what is needed, but it's about giving so generously that it has a touch of recklessness about it. Stewardship is not about one institution giving grudgingly to another, but rejoicing in the mission of others within our one church. And that's the attitude of God's giving to us. And that's the message for the church. I read recently, over the centuries, many books have been written to give an explanation for some of the words of Jesus. And today, the writer said, many people are still confused about many aspects of Christianity. Therefore, the simple Christian stewardship principles of giving a generous measure of our time, talents, and money to God to be used in the name of Jesus Christ for the benefit of humanity has great appeal to all right-thinking followers of Jesus. Last Sunday in our readings, one of the verses we read had the phrase, will man rob God? Will you rob God? And perhaps that's one of the motivations for our giving. For there is no more practical test of a person's love for God than their attitude towards possessions. It's one thing to worship God in word, in song, in spoken prayer. But how easy it is to hide behind the veil of words and behind pleasant tunes. The reality and the quality of our worship faces a much more acute test when the collection plate is passed around. The carnality of the Christian church in Corinth is often referred to. However, there were some admirable believers in Corinth too. And in 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes of how they excelled in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, he says. But then he asks, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. The Apostle Paul's challenge to that church in Corinth is don't allow your commitment to be mere words, however excellent these words might be. You see, Paul is concerned that they do not fall into the trap of neck-up religion. He wants to be sure that their faith has concrete, practical expression. And so he says, see that you also excel in the grace of giving. It is a test of love. First of all, such giving would be a test. The sincerity of how the Corinthians love can be determined by noting their faithfulness in the realms of giving, Paul says. And giving is a very practical test for how you and I love God. No longer can we deceive ourselves into believing that all is well because of our hearty singing or even exciting testimonies that we may hear or share from time to time. There is a more reliable, accurate, and quantifiable test than that. It's to do with our giving. A second reason for giving is that we might experience spiritual growth, experience the result of our giving in our own lives. And again, in his letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul assures the church there that it's best for them if they give. And he continues in the next chapter, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So let's consider the growth that can take place in just one area of our life through giving. Giving will increase our reliance upon God. Most of us find it extremely difficult not to become dependent on the things that we possess. And our peace in the present and our confidence for the future quickly becomes more dependent upon our possessions than upon the promises of God. Sadly, in my own experience, I've seen frequently an increase in possessions going hand in hand with a decrease in spiritual reality. I believe if some of us actually became involved in sacrificial giving, one result would be a great increase in faith. You see, we profess to believe that our God, as Paul says, will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Writes that to the Philippians. But in the realm of money, when did you have to prove the validity of that promise that God will meet all our needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus? One of the greatest learning experiences of my young Christian life was getting my whole attitude to giving sorted out. When I became, I think I've maybe told you the story before, when I began work as an engineer in London, I had quite a large salary, but it didn't seem to go very far every month. The money came in, and at the end of one month, and it only seemed to stretch just to the end of the next month. And that was the situation I was in until someone in the church I was going to help me with my finances by opening God's word for me. It was a situation I was in until I made a conscious decision to try the tithe, giving the tithe that the Bible talks about, the tenth of the income to God, to give an additional sum each month to charity. And the reality of that was amazing. The other 9/10 suddenly seemed to go so much further. And I'm sure that's been your experience too, if your giving has been of that nature. Even as a student on a very low grant, a very low income, I was able to continue giving a tenth to God and something every month to charity. And God blessed the rest of that meagre income as a student and made it go further, covering all the expenses. And I, like so many, many other people before me, have found God to be so gracious in his provision. You see, once we learn to return to God a sacrifice fitting in proportion to our income, we discover the blessing of God. And the challenge, the very real challenge, is to take the promises of God that we know so well and put them to the test. Is God faithful? Is the Bible, his word, to be trusted implicitly? And as you see God providing, your faith makes that glorious transition from theory to experience. You know, we live in a time when it's increasingly difficult to live out a Christian life. There are increasingly all sorts of challenges being put in our way over what we can freely say and write and do as Christian people. But isn't that also an opportunity? Isn't it time for more Christians to begin to live dangerously? Let's ask God to take away this mentality of our security and our confidence being based in our possessions. And let's be prepared for sacrificial giving. Giving which will take us out on a limb with God. Because out on that limb with God, there is no more secure place to be. And the third reason for giving is that it is a test of our beliefs. Do we really believe in heaven? Are we convinced that the heavenly treasure is indestructible, while moth and rust will destroy treasure on earth? Does your conviction concerning the second coming of Christ affect your daily living? Surely one of our greatest problems as Christians is that our living does not always support our speaking. It is a test of our beliefs. And a fourth reason for giving is the profit and the blessing that we will receive as givers through God's generosity. The basic principle stated in the book of Proverbs in chapter 22 and verse 9, where it says, "A generous man will himself be blessed." You see, material benefits were promised when God's people gave of their wealth. Again, Proverbs 3 verse 9, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine." And Paul tells us that Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. We read that last Sunday. And thousands of Christians through the centuries and today would gladly testify that God is no man's debtor. Michael Griffith's testimony in his book Take My Life is typical of many. He writes this: "Our personal experience as a family has been that we have so far never been allowed to part with some substantial donation over and above our normal giving without it being abundantly returned from some other source and often multiplied into the bargain. So that even down here, we seem to get our share of heavenly treasure too. God is no man's debtor. His giving to us, which is not merely to be measured on a financial scale, is always and evidently on a scale that makes our giving to him seem utterly puny by comparison." I'm sure you could add your own experience in tune with that. Many testimonies that you have heard would call on and be able to call on would underline this point that Michael Griffiths makes. God is marvellous. And we praise God that he is so faithful and so generous. And we really should trust him more. Our motive in giving must be to the glory of God. To give in order to get is the language of the world. As we give for the glory of God, an abundance is promised. An abundance of fellowship within our Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of obedience. And a fifth reason for giving is that it can be a great encouragement to fellowship. Giving within a local church really binds members of that church together. Giving to Christian workers and to Christian organizations often forges stronger links between givers and receivers. So the very real question for us is, how much ought we to give? Well, the principle of the tithe is clear from Scripture. If a truly Christian answer is to be given to the question, how much should I give? Then we are led to believe that our giving must be worthwhile. And our giving should be in line with Scripture. It should represent a worthy proportion of our income. It should be a worthy recognition of our sense of gratitude and be worthy for the purpose for which it is given. Our giving should be regular, systematic, proportionate to our income. And so long as local churches and Christian charities continue to be allowed to recover tax through the gifted scheme without state intervention, then all of us should be making our giving in that way. Three things emerge from regular, systematic, proportionate giving. Firstly, in what it does to us as the individual. Those who've tried it and practiced it consistently find great joy in giving. There's no doubt at all that this kind of giving steadily builds up our character. Secondly, in what it does to the church, because it ensures that the church can fulfill its mission more effectively. It's no longer running on a shoestring budget, as so many of our churches seem to do these days. And the third thing that emerges from regular, systematic, proportionate giving is what it does for those who are outside the church. There is no doubt that this way of financing the Lord's work through the local church and through Christian charities still impresses those who are outside the church. They're impressed with the dignity of the church. And when those outside see that church people are giving realistically and sacrificially and enthusiastically, they're led to believe that that church must be worthwhile if its members support it in that way. And the acid test as to whether or not we are committed is the question, what do you do with your money? By the way we use our resources, we can tell just how and to what extent we are committed to God. Let us pray.